Today's March 18th, year 2007. It's the fourth Sunday in Lent, also known as Laetare Sunday, which is the midpoint of Lent. I'm going to give a brief comment about our little apologetical section here. On Matthew 18:17, when our Lord said, if he will not hear the church, okay, let him be as unto thee as a heathen and publican. Now, he's talking about a man who's a Catholic at this time, but he's doing something wrong. Or at least he's a self-professed Catholic, so to say. And he says, you go up to your brother who calls himself a Catholic and he's doing something wrong, and Jesus says, go up with two people and rebuke him to his face and try to correct him. If he doesn't listen, bring it to the church and tell the church. And if he will not hear the church, let him be unto thee as a publican and a heathen. Now, we can use this verse for two purposes. First of all, one of the million verses, I'll say at least thousands, in the Bible that prove you need faith and good works. Luther said you only need faith in Jesus. We're talking about a guy who had faith in Jesus. And two brothers went up to this guy who professed faith in Jesus. He said, I'm a Catholic, I believe in Jesus, you know, but you're doing this and you're doing that, and you're holding on to a heresy, you're doing something immoral, you're doing this wrong, come over here, boom, I got to tell the church. Now, they say, if he doesn't listen to the church, now he's a heretic because he's not submitting to God's church on earth. Because Jesus says, he who will not hear the church is a heathen. Now, you're not submitting to the rock of Peter and the keys of Peter and the papacy. You're not submitting to the church. So, basically, the Lord is saying, here's a guy that says, I believe in Jesus. Like the Protestants say, well, you got to do is believe in Jesus. This guy believes in Jesus. But guess what? Our Lord calls him a heathen. It's not enough to believe in Jesus. You have to listen to his church, his one church. So that proves faith in deeds. But the other point that it proves in there, that is saying faith in deeds, listening to his church, and what was the other point I had? And there's two points. Okay, here's the other point. That we always say Protestants are also not really true Christians in the strict sense. They're really not. They're not a Christian at all. Our Lord said, we always call 1 John 4:3, where every spirit that dissolves Jesus is not of God, and this is the Antichrist. He calls Protestants Antichrists. In other words, you're not professing the true Christ. The Christ that you're professing is a false Christ, so you're not even true Christians. This proves it. How does this verse prove it? Because what does our Lord call them? Anybody who doesn't listen to the church is what? It is a heathen, not a Christian. A heathen. That proves our fact that in the strict term of the word Christian, the strict sense of the word Christian, they are not Christians. Only Catholics are Christians. Okay, that's our little topics. Now we're going to go into the main topic of the sermon, which is dreams. We promised that we're going to talk about how the devil affects people in dreams and sways them and tempts them and seduces them through dreams. First of all, we know that power was, Saint God had given power to Satan so that he may be able to try and tempt men. And Satan ends up testing many men through his temptations, obsessions, and possessions. And he deceives them through lying signs and wonders. We know that Satan was given this power to even perform what appears to be signs and wonders. Now, we know God does signs and wonders to get attention, but Satan does also what appear to be signs and wonders, which St. Paul calls lying signs and wonders. We read about the Antichrist, whose coming is according to the working of Satan, and all power and signs and lying wonders and all seduction of iniquity to them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. So Satan also has power to perform what appears to be signs and wonders. Okay? And he also has the power to go in there and make you believe that you had a dream from the true God when it wasn't from the true God at all. Mm-hmm. Our whole question on this back thing is how do we determine what comes from God and what doesn't come from God? Okay, now we know that Satan, when he tempts people, most people, or except for the out-and-out self-professed witches and Satanists, and even them he deceives, but I'm talking about the ones and how he deceives most people. He appears as an angel of light. And it says, and we read from 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transformeth himself into an angel of light. So Lucifer, who was in heaven at one time and angel of light, is now Satan, appears to these people as a good entity, as either the supreme being or a higher being that is of a good quality, a good angel, or even appears as God. And he speaks to these people through dreams, and he makes these people believe that God's speaking to them, or a good angel is speaking to them, or a higher being, which is a beneficent and good being. And that's the way he seduces people. And that's the way he gets into them, because we know our Lord also said, all those who follow Satan, and especially in these final days, but it's been in all days they've been given this power, but it's really going to be it's really pronounced in these final days. It's really prevalent. We read in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." Okay? Even so much, if possible, as to deceive the elect. Signs and wonders again. But, of course, we call these, they're not real signs and wonders, they're lying signs and wonders. But to the untrained eye, and even to a good saint, he may not be able to discern that unless he finds out what is behind the message, what is it leading to, and what are the fruits of it. So we're going to get into that part in the end. But we've made clear to people now that you get signs and wonders from God, and you get lying signs and wonders from Satan. You get dreams from God, and you get dreams from Satan. Or yourself. When it comes to dreams, it can be either from Satan, from your own self and your own imaginations, or it can come from God even. And now we're going to concentrate on how, what are good dreams, what are bad dreams, how to distinguish between good and bad dreams so you don't be fooled by Satan. And we have to warn so many people today, because we are saying that when Satan gives you a dream, it really is a real dream these people have, and powerful, and it seems to them to be really from God. Another entity speaking to them. Things even that Satan tells them that really come to pass and lends them to put their confidence in this, and then Satan's got them tight down the false road. And everybody swears that it's the true God speaking to them, but it's not. Now, one common sense thing I'm going to tell people that you can know, that all of these dreams that people think come from God or gods or a higher intelligent being cannot all be from the same source. Now, let's just take, for instance, the Buddhist dreamer, the Muslim dreamer, the Hindu dreamer, the New Age dreamer. They all say they have dreams that come from their God or gods or higher being. They all say they have that. You just go anywhere and look at it. And they're going to really give you, and they do have the dreams, really in detail. But how can they all be from the same entity when they all differ as to who is God, as to the ways of God, and as to who are God's people? They all differ. The one God dream, the Muslim says, "I had a dream, and my God told me the Muslims were God's chosen people." The Hindu says, my God dream, the higher being, told me that my multiple Hindu gods are gods. The Buddhist guy has his dream, and he says, there is no God, but just some higher entity or force that we all become. So each one says that they have a dream, and they really do have a dream. And in that dream, an entity or entities are speaking to them and convincing them that their way is the right way. But logically, they cannot all be true. This is just a little common sense. The New Ager has a dream. And he comes up and says, one of the ascended beings, the higher beings, appeared to me and told me crystals is the way. We gotta go in there, and we can tap into the power through crystals. Or we can tap into the power through channeling spirits. Whatever dream these people have, they have to all realize you're not the only one having them. Other people are having them. And they all disagree as to who God is, or who the gods are, or who the higher being is, or to what are the ways of God, or what are his commandments, and who are God's chosen people. So what are we telling you out there, folks? Logic tells you that either all these dreams are false, or only one of them could be true. But certainly they cannot all be true. So by this we are telling you now that there is such a thing as powerful dreams that have a real powerful effect on people, in which they really think God or gods or a higher being is speaking to them. And guess who's speaking to you? Satan, the father of the lies, who likes to confound all those people and give them these illusions and preach to them and appear to them as an angel of light. Our Lord said it in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan appears as an angel of light. We're going to read about now many people that were deceived in dreams. We're getting into the first thing in which Moses speaks in, I think it's Deuteronomy 13:1-3. He says, "If ever there should be a prophet amongst you, or one that dreameth a dream, and he foretold a sign, and that which he foretell come to pass, and he say, let us go follow strange gods, thou shalt not hear the voice of that prophet or that dreamer. For the Lord God trieth you, that it may appear whether you love him with your whole heart and soul and mind or not." So there we are. There's people that have dreams and say, God told me this, God told me that. And he's given us also a way to know how it's good, because what is that prophet telling you to do? Well, I had a dream, and in my dream, God told me homosexuality is okay. Well, guess what? Sorry to tell you, pal, that ain't the true God. Now, that one even a pagan can know, because he's got the law upon his heart. He could even say, well, I might not know who the true God is yet, and I'm searching, but I know that ain't the true God. That is disgusting. You see? So there's many ways you can tell. There's deeper ways that get a little more difficult, but when you have the true religion, the dreams have to also conform to dogmas and morals. That's number one. If the dream violates any moral commandment, it ain't from God. If it denies any Catholic dogma, it ain't from God. We're going to give you a look certain ways later on how to detect these dreams on who they're from. So we know also that dreams come from God too. Now, before we go on to this, I want to tell the people, first of all, about dreams in general. Even when God gives people dreams, He doesn't give them multiple dreams every night and keeps bombing them like a constant communication like we have. Now, He will give holy men quite a few dreams when they need to have them. But even when you say quite a few, only when they need to have them. God doesn't spoil His people or act unnecessarily. And when He acts in such a manner to give you a dream, He does do it. But He's not going to give you a dream every night. Every night you're getting all these multiple dreams, and He's telling you all these different things. You got to be careful when that stuff starts to happen. Although God could give holy people dreams quite often, my point in this is to the people who are listening to this, and even holy men and women that lived in the past here in heaven, I will tell you this: 99.9% of your dreams are hogwash and trash. Throw them out as soon as you have them. 99.9% of your dreams are either from Satan or your own imagination. They are worthless. Worthless. And anybody who starts putting too much stock in their dreams is going to fall into quick problems with Satan. Okay, now even when you do, and that's not to put down the fact that God does give people dreams, because there is such a thing as true dreams from God, and we're not supposed to discourage that neither. But my point is, even when you think that you do have a dream from the true God, I tell you to test the spirits to make sure it is from the true God. And God has a way of reinforcing to you that the dream is from Him by either giving you multiple dreams of the same occurrence, and also by doing things during the day to confirm it, and also after you've prayed on it, and it conforms with dogmas, Catholic dogmas and morals, and it has a good fruit that you can see being born from it. God confirms it many different ways. Now, God gives dreams not just to good His chosen people, Catholics during the New Covenant era, and Israelites during the Old Covenant era, but He gives dreams even to wicked people to try to convert them and to warn them. Look at Pharaoh here. When Joseph was confronting Pharaoh, God gave Pharaoh three dreams in a row that he couldn't ignore about this plenty, the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of famine. And God did that so He can exalt Joseph in the sight of Pharaoh and introduce again to the Pharaohs of Egypt the God of Israel and His power. God's always exalting His power over the gods of Egypt to witness to the Egyptians in trying to convert them. So God gave good dreams, even gives dreams to ungodly people to convert them or to warn them. Now, he's given a dream also to King Abimelech. Now, King Abimelech was when Abraham went, it was not the king of Egypt, it was the second time this happened, and he went into this kingdom where Abimelech was the king, and they said, if this king finds out Sarah's your wife, because he's going to want her, you better tell her that she's your sister, because they don't believe in adultery, but he's going to kill you. That's how he gets around the law. So that happened in Egypt. But when he went in with King Abimelech, he heard that King Abimelech is the same way. So he told the king that Sarah's only my sister. And King Abimelech took Sarah to be his, almost was going to be his wife or concubine, and because he didn't know she was married. Now, he wasn't committing any fault in this, because he really didn't know she was married. But nevertheless, God, to stop this whole thing, appeared, or had an angel appear to King Abimelech, and we read in Genesis 23, and God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and He said to him, "Lo, thou shalt die, for the woman thou hast taken, for she hath a husband. Do not touch her." What He's saying, if you touch this woman, you shall die. Don't touch her. And so God warned him. And then he went to Abraham and says, "What are you doing to me? You almost got me killed here." You know? So now that's also... God appeared to another ungodly person and warned him to not touch Jacob. And that was Laban, Jacob's father-in-law, when he was chasing him. When Jacob finally left because his father-in-law wasn't going to let him go, he wanted to keep him there till he died because he was prospering his land. So Jacob has to sneak away with his family and his sons and cattle and family. Laban's chasing after him, and before, he's about only like a day away from him. And God gives this dream to Laban. And he saw in a dream God saying to him, "Laban, take heed thou speak not anything harshly against Jacob," end quote. So God speaking to Laban, warning him in the dream. We also have God speaking to St. Joseph in the dream, telling him to take the holy infant and Mary into Egypt. We also have God speaking to St. Joseph in a dream and telling him it's now time to leave Egypt, because Herod is now dead, and you can come back into Israel. And then you also have God appearing to St. Peter in a dream, with the animals coming down, the unclean animals, saying you can now eat these animals. and he was ultimately referring to the Gentiles. Joseph was given dreams in which he was able to go in there and interpret dreams also. We also read about another ungodly person who was given a dream, and that's King Nebuchadnezzar. He was given a dream in which God showed him that he'd become like a beast and God was going to humble him. And we read about that in Daniel 2:1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and his spirit was terrified, and his dream went out of his mind. Now, this was a different issue. That's not the one I'm talking about here. That's not the quote I wanted to pull out. That's another one. That's the one where God used Daniel, the prophet, to come in and tell him what his dream was. So, again, the God of Israel is now exalted amongst the Babylonians, which are the modern-day Iraqis. So, Daniel's going in there and saying, I'll tell you what your dream. It was this, and this is what happened. But later on, he had a dream also that he was going to become an animal and all that, and it really happened. And these dreams ultimately ended up converting Nebuchadnezzar. He did convert. And God was trying to convert Pharaoh too. So God gives dreams, yes, to ungodly people. So anybody out there who's not a Catholic, I'm not saying that you can't have dreams from God. You could. That's how God converts a lot of people. But what I am telling you is be very careful. Because 99.9% of your dreams are right out of hell from Satan. And you're getting, happen to get a lot of that today. Very much active. Our Lord said that the Antichrist, who gets his power from Satan, is going to fill the world with these dreams, and even they're going to see things when they're awake, lying signs and wonders. Devils and damned human beings appearing to them in person, speaking to them. They're going to get all this kind of stuff. And we're going to find out, tell you how you can test the spirits. There's only one way to know if it's from the true God. He has to support the Catholic faith and religion, and which means he cannot violate any of the moral issues, even the moral laws upon the heart, and he cannot refute any dogma of the true Catholic Church. That's the number one way you're going to test the spirits. And also, you have to make sure that, too, that whatever that dream is, or that whatever that entity is telling you to do, that there's good fruit going to be born from it. Because Satan can also tell you certain things that are not intrinsically evil or against the Catholic faith, but can still be from Satan. He can tell you to do something politically wrong or something in your daily life that's not intrinsically evil, but which God doesn't want you to do. That's the harder one to detect. We'll get into that later. We're just qualifying to you now. We're just first out starting with the fact that God does give dreams to people, godly and ungodly people. Now, God has given another dream to another ungodly person. In this case, it was Pilate's wife. All right? And we read that from Matthew 27:19. This is Pilate, and as Pilate was sitting in the palace of judgment, his wife sent to him, saying, Have you nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So God appeared to Pilate's wife, saying, trying to warn Pilate, don't do this, he's a just man. So again, we have God speaking. And who knows, maybe his wife even converted. But here's some of the example of God speaking to people through dreams. Now, the majority of the times, though, as I just said, now just keep that in mind, 99.9% of your dreams are from Satan or from your own imaginations. Now we're going to read here some examples about dreams that come from Satan. We read what I just quoted to you from Deuteronomy 1:3. If anybody dreams a dream and it's false, and who are we thinking of? Who's the big shot in this 20th century that said, I dreamed a dream. I've had a dream. And what was this guy? He was a Protestant stinking heretic. Guess who's talking to you, pal? Yeah. Satan. Because in his dream he said, I've seen the promised land. I've seen Jews and Muslims and Buddhists. How could it be, you dummy? You're not even using logic. Now, what a hypocrite he was. What an infiltrator. What a liar. He professed to believe in Jesus Christ, but he's looking at Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, and paradise. What kind of religion do you really believe in? You're not a real Christian. Of course, we know they're not anyway, but this guy's even violating the Protestant standard. The Protestants have to step back and say, hey, Martin, you blew that one, man. I got to tell you something. That ain't from... That's illogical. How could God be the God of the Christians, you know, Jesus, and at the same time you're saying he's the Muslim God, the Talmudic Jewish God? You know, what's going on here? So we see it. I have dreamed a dream, but if what he foretell is a strange God, you do not follow that, man. And here's another guy we're going to hit one day in a separate sermon, Martin Luther. What an abominable heretic this guy was. What an influencer. You talk against him, oh, it's like you're talking against the greatest saint. He's bigger than Moses. He's bigger than St. Peter. He's bigger than any of the greatest saints in the past. If you talk against your modern saints, quote unquote, your satanic saints. He was an antichrist. And his dream was straight out of the pits of everlasting hell. Now, there's one good example of me to tell. And I don't doubt that he did have that dream. I don't doubt it. He had it. He saw it. But guess what? It was from hell. It was from Satan. It wasn't from the Catholic God. So he's waking up and seeing this promised land with all these truths and boasts. But God's saying, you know why you deserve that? Because you would not believe the truth. That's illogical. When you waked up from that dream, or when you were having that dream, here's, even a Protestant would say this who believes you need to at least believe in Jesus to be saved. He would go up and say, I got a problem with this dream. What? I see all these people, Lord, and I see a Muslim and a Talmud, a Jew and a Buddhist, but they don't believe in you, and I know they got to believe in you to get to heaven. So I mean, that logic would even tell you that that dream is false. But he was so deluded. He had his own religion of humanism, where he wanted, like J.P. 2 preached that, the humanism. We want to all come together no matter what God you preach. But here's the guy who said, I dreamed a dream. And his dream was utterly and totally false. And anybody who's even an atheist, an impartial judge, can sit back and say, now, Martin, I'm not a religious person. I don't even believe in God. But I will know one thing. What you're saying here is not logical. It's stupid. How could, if you said you believe in a God, how could he support all those different gods when he's saying, is God schizophrenic? He gives one commandment to one group of people, another that opposes to another group of people? What kind of God is this? You're presenting to me a schizophrenic, lying God. Really is, it's Satan that gave this dream to Martin Luther. There's one example you can tell about. And once you start falling for that seduction, I have no doubt this Martin Luther King had many dreams. Right straight out of the pits of everlasting hell. And the devil has a way of making those dreams come to pass to even confirm you in your error, to make you believe you're on the right road. Then when he goes out and gives a speech like that, and most people listen to him because most people are evil, he even gets more confident. He goes, this has got to be a God. Look at the fruits it's bearing. It's the numbers game, I guess. It's never about the numbers game. I mean, SSP Tenors always used to prove that. As they said, the conscience position can't be true because they have so few people, and we have more people. I says, well, if it goes by numbers, Billy Graham's got way more people than the SSP 10, so he must be true, you know? It ain't got nothing to do with the numbers game. But I'm just giving you ways in which the devil deceives people. He gives you a real dream. And I'll tell you one thing, many of these dreams, you wouldn't know if they're from God or from Satan. They look and sound real good and real nice and innocent, but you have to judge them in the light of the truth, which is the Catholic faith, the full deposit of that Catholic faith, which involves morals too, which also involves the law upon your heart. Just listen to what I'm saying out there, people. Do not trust all these dreams you're having. Do not trust all these visions you're having. I tell you right now, 99.9%, and almost in all cases, 100% of them are false. Now, I'm not trying to display that God is talking to some people out there, because he does do that, but I'm giving you ways to detect the differences between your false dreams that come from Satan or your own self, or dreams that come from God. Now, we read another thing here where our Lord is talking about all these false prophets, that the devil always would speak through these false religious leaders, these, what I call about these apostates or heretics or immoral religious leaders, the other chosen people that would sway his people. And they would have false dreams. We read about this in Jeremiah 29:8-9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets that are in the midst of you and your diviners deceive you, and give no heed to your dreams which you dream. For they prophesied falsely to you in my name, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord God. And these prophets, these false prophets, are getting dreams. And they're believing it's from the true God. And especially, you really get deceived by this stuff when it concurs with your own perverse mind. If you're already committing adultery, and you want to commit adultery, if you're already robbing and stealing, lying, cheating, whatever your sin is, and you want to continue on in that sin, if you're already holding on to some heresy, and you want to believe in that heresy, you just are waiting for a dream like this to confirm you in your heresy. Because then you can wake up from that dream and say, I knew it's true, God just confirmed it in a dream. And then God lets that happen as an operation of error because you would not believe the truth. You're already steeped in obstinate sins when God already has been showing you truth and you're rejecting it. So now these prophets are given all false dreams. And Jeremiah shows up against all these false prophets. You see this many times. The false prophets always outnumber the true prophets. You know, the only way to tell the difference is the true prophets are preaching the full deposit of the faith and the morals. And is bearing good fruit, not good fruit according to what the world might see, but good fruit as far as their way of life, their holiness, their honesty, their purity, their obedience to God's commandments. Not meaning that they live in palaces or because they're rich, the American dreamers. Today, in today's society, what do they consider good? You have to be rich, you have to have mansions, you have to have diplomas, you have to be a genius, you have to go to all these schools and get all these degrees, and that's what they look at as a good fruit. That's neutral, it's not good nor bad. It could, in most cases, today we know it's always evil because of what they're using it for. But the true good fruit is Take a look at the way the person is living, how he treats his neighbors, how just he is. Does he punish evildoers? Does he reward the just? You need to have all that happening in the guy's life. How is he in his own life? Is he at peace with himself? Is he firm as a rock? Is he not moved? That's one of the signs. There's a couple signs of good fruit. That's not the only sign. But now we're talking about the idea here that you have dreams coming from, also in the final, well, we'll get into that later when we end up here, but we're now, I think we'll end up with just this passage right here. Now we're getting where God is furious with all these false prophets, of course, but he allowed it because the people are worthy of it, but he's rebuking them. And he's telling the people, stop listening to these dreamers and false prophets who are prophesizing lies. But he goes on to say too, but the man who is speaking for the true God, don't you stop. You keep going. And don't be discouraged because people are going to try to lump you in with them. And that's the other error to say, is that God doesn't speak to nobody. Or God doesn't give dreams to nobody. Or God doesn't prophesy, no one prophesizes anymore. That's Jansenism. That's the extreme traditionalist movement you have, these people. They don't believe God speaks to anybody anymore. They completely throw out the idea that God does speak to people through dreams, that God still does speak through men, his chosen people, that God still does have prophets, even though there's none on the earth hardly now, but us few here, we're all speaking for God. And oh, God does speak to every one of us, and we're not going to tell them in how many ways God does that, but we know he's proved it to us because we put faith in him. But I know, beware of the other error of the Jansenist on the right-hand side who doesn't believe God speaks to anybody. But God covers both bases in this particular passage we're going to end with here in Jeremiah 23:25-33. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name and say, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. I prophesy, that's Martin Lucifer King again. I mean Luther King. Well, Lucifer King is pretty good. Anyway, I have dreamed a dream, see? Right? In my name. He said in the name of Jesus. I tell you, folks, be even more careful of those who prophesy in the name of the Catholic God. The Vatican II who say they're Catholics. These are the worst evildoers on the whole earth. They're not Catholics. They're total apostates. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies and that prophesy the delusions of their own heart? And God already sees the perverted and deluded hearts unless the devil come and give them a false dream, a real powerful one. He'll even let the devil appear to them in plain sight and do a false miracle to them. And then the devil's got them locked, stock, and barrel. I gave you some common sense ways to know that. If the devil's doing that to three people who believe in three different things, guess what? It's a lying entity. One thing you know for sure, that if you get five people having dreams and visions, and real miracles, which appear to be miracles, and those five different people say it's a different God who has a different way and a different thing, you can know one thing for sure. That's a lying entity. That is a lying spirit, what our Lord says calls Satan. And that's one way to be able to tell that with logic. Now our Lord says, and prophesy the delusions of their own heart, who seek to make my people forget my name through their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, to forget the true God. Martin Luther, the king, who said, Buddhists, Muslims are in heaven. That's not the true God. These phony baloney so-called Catholics in the Vatican II Church that say Jews can get to heaven, you're allowed to pray with every false religion in the world, that we have to respect false religions and false gods. What kind of a religion is this? That you can pray in communion with these people who believe in false gods. That you can no longer denounce them. They're making the people forget the name of the true God. And he says, who seek to make my people forget my name through their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. For Baal. Now Baal is just another of the many false gods. What does the Vatican II Church teach? Go in to learn about that Talmud of Judaism. Go in and learn about Buddhism. JP2, Benedict 16. Benedict 16 just went into a Muslim mosque and prayed in the Muslim mosque, facing towards Mecca, wherever east, wherever, and prayed in the Muslim form of praying. False gods. Don't listen to these prophets who try to make you follow strange gods. They say Gandhi was a hero of humanity and a very good man. JP2 kneeled down before Apostate Antipope John Paul II, kneeled down before the tomb of Gandhi, went into the Buddhist temple with the big boost and bowed down before it, drank some potions mixed up by witch doctors. These are false prophets who pretend to be speaking in the name of the Catholic God, but are presenting to you a false God by leading into all the bowels of the world. Bowel, all the false gods of the day. This is easy for you to see. He says, the prophet that hath a dream. Now he's talking about the true prophets. Don't be discouraged by all this. Don't give up prophecy, true prophecy, because it's true prophecy that's going to save goodwill people. So he, now God's making, is guarding against the opposite error of the people who do see all these charismatic people that are seeing false Marys, false Jesuses, false saviors, false messiahs. It is sickening. But he's, and it is big to be warned about, but he's warning against the other error that there's still, that God don't speak to nobody, and there are no prophets. So God says here, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath a word, let him speak my word with truth. He's talking about a true prophet now. What hath the chaff to do with the wheat, saith the Lord? Are not my words as fire, saith the Lord, and as a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, who use their tongues and say, the Lord saith it, the Catholic God said it, Jesus said it. Behold, I am against the prophets that have lying dreams, saith the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lying and by their wonders, when I sent them not, nor commanded them, who have not profited this people at all, saith the Lord. Just look at the condition of the world. They're all listening to all these Martin Luther Kings and all these Billy Grahams and all these Gandhi and all these other false religious leaders, and the world is more evil than it's ever been from the beginning of all mankind. Murders, rapes, lying, stealing, pillaging, broken marriages, children killing parents, parents killing children, drug addiction, alcoholism. It's all over the place. These are the illusions that you're following because you gave up the true Catholic God, which only we here at Mary's Little Remnant are now preaching, and no one else. And you want to hear the truth, you better stick to St. John the Baptist website. You better stick to Mary's Little Remnant and read my writings. And I tell you again, stay away from all these other people, because Satan is working through them and with his delusions. The mere fact that they don't denounce people the way I do is proof number one that these people cannot be of God. That's one of the proofs. Now we go on to say here, if therefore this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say to them, you are the burden of the Lord, for I will cast you away, saith the Lord. The false prophets, the false teachers, all these people that go around. And Jeremiah was not talking about Israelites who said they were faithful Israelites practicing the true Judaism of the Old Covenant. He's saying, you're false prophets. We're really directing this against the so-called Catholics of the Vatican II Church, the traditionalist movement, and all the sanity-conscious heretical sects. I'm telling you, don't listen to these false prophets. I'm telling you, when the Chakad and the Sanborn tell you that a Talmudic Jew can die and go to his particular judgment as a Talmudic Jew, when he tells you that, I tell you, spit on him. I tell you, run away from him. I tell you, he's a false prophet. That's all you need to know. And if I had power and authority in this world, he'd be given 1 month to convert, and we're killing him. We're burning him. I don't have that power now, but God will take care of them. They're false prophets. Get away from these guys. And if anybody tells you you're allowed to pray and commune with notorious heretics and palsy around with them in religious matters when they're committing obstinate, notorious heresies, I tell you, get away from that man. I tell you, run from them faster than you can run from anybody. And I'm warning you especially about these people who say they're Catholic, because they're giving the true Catholic religion, the true Catholic Church, and the true Catholic God a bad name. I'm preaching the true Catholic God. They're not. You want to learn about them? Listen to what I'm saying and reject all these other people. And I will let you know who's right as they come by, and if they conform to the points on the abjuration I composed, and I try their faith, which is the duty of all Catholics, as St. Paul says. Try one another if you be of the faith, lest perhaps you be reprobates. 2 Corinthians 13:3. Prove yourselves. Or is it 5? It's one of those verses in here. So I'm just giving you I have to emphasize this in particular, because God is most angry at these people that are misrepresenting the true God. Protestants, all these other people, we know that the truth by saying they're Catholics and they're not. End of sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.